The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Now, with Europe currently experiencing extreme heat, many of our homes are not equipped to deal with that heat and ventilate out the excess heat that builds up during the day. It poses the question as to what changes need to be made in the architecture of our homes, be they houses or apartments. And I'm joined in studio now by Jeff Colley, editor of Passive House Plus magazine. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you talked to us before about what a passive house is, but basically it's one that uses very, very little carbon in terms of keeping it comfortable for the occupants.
Right, exactly. And that's both in the context of winter and avoiding heating use, in some cases to the point of elimination in terms of an active heating requirement. But it also provides this the equivalent function in summer as well. So there are kind of strict requirements on the standard around building design to avoid overheating in the summer.
Now, one of the reasons we overheat, and anyone who's been in a conservatory, for example, knows this, that conservatories which look very nice attached to the back of the house in summer become absolutely intolerable.
Absolutely. It's something that I think, you know, most of us will have experienced. Unfortunately, one of the issues we face with regard to architecture here is that there are some probably poorly tested conventions that date back from the 70s in notionally green architecture around passive solar design, which is not to be confused with passive house. And it's the idea that you can harness as much of the sun's heat as possible in order to heat the building. But unfortunately, when we actually look at how buildings work in reality, we tend to find that the buildings with passive solar design, you know, with an awful lot of emphasis on passive solar, can be very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter.
Yeah. The idea of having glass at the back of the house, for example, on a cold winter's day, that's very nice. You get some radiation from the sun in. It's trapped by the greenhouse effect in the house. And that's fine, thank you very much, because we need the heat in the winter, particularly if the house is not particularly well insulated. But the opposite is true in summer, and we do not have, and we don't want to have to specify air conditioning for every house if our summers get hotter.
Well, that's exactly the issue. I mean, so there's not necessarily an inherent problem with air conditioning. Looking forward and looking at some of the kind of future climate scenarios that could be facing our buildings within the next few decades, even, you know, in very short term in terms of heat waves, having some cooling requirement isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world, and there are smart systems which enable you to provide a little bit of heat and cool. But the point is to design the building well enough to stop the heat getting in the first place. So you've got to think about the form of the building, getting over this kind of oil age architecture addiction to glass and steel, you know, a glass kind of box kind of architecture. And we see it a lot in office buildings as well, where, you know, buildings become effectively uninhabitable for large swathes of the year.
And they require, the building we're in now, requires air conditioning to keep it cool, because effectively you've got a curtain wall of glass around the building, and radiant heat from the sun will come in. So in order to be comfortable, you've got to use mechanical air conditioning.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there are other strategies that can be used, you know, even from a retrofit perspective, there's things we can do to minimize the requirement in that regard. But I think people need to be aware of the stakes here. I mean, when we're talking about buildings, about conditions in buildings, we're really talking about the conditions for occupants, about creating safe, comfortable conditions for people, and therefore you're thinking about heating and cooling people, really. But you know, we operate within a pretty narrow band in which we can survive from a temperature perspective as people, it's very important that we avoid our buildings reaching too high temperatures, especially when we've got elderly people and young children who can regulate their temperatures as well.
Yeah. So as you say, we're addicted to glass, and the tendency now, if you do an extension, it's a glass block at the back of the house, and that, depending on the aspect of the house, may not be helpful in terms of keeping you comfortable during the summer. So what do we need to do about the design of our houses if we're to get over the addiction to glass? I mean, if you go into an old medieval castle on a hot summer's day, it's nice and cool inside.
Well, yeah, you know, and there were certain conventions that we observed before the advent of air conditioning and of central heating. Look at the vernacular architecture we have here. We've got sort of sensible kind of glazing ratios and so on. I'm not saying we have to be austere and miserable and with, you know, tiny little windows. And there are clever strategies you can use. External shading can be extraordinarily effective. Many, many of your listeners will relate to going to continental Europe in the summer and, you know, this convention of people in the morning before they go to work, closing up the building with external shutters and then opening it up and opening windows at nighttime. And
but there might be airflow through because the glass windows which are used are not closed. They may be open. The shutters give you security, but also ventilation through the house.
Yeah, and again, you know, airflow can be important, but it depends on the air temperature outside. You know, if you're trying to keep the temperature below, say, 25 degrees and the air temperature outside is higher than 25 degrees, then you want the windows closed, actually, in that situation.
One of the other things you see in all of the continental houses in the sunnier parts of Europe is the use of, be they apartments or be they houses, the use of the veranda. In other words, they treasure their shade. In the visitor treasures the sunlight and wants to get out there and get burnt, but the resident cherishes the shade.
And it is extraordinarily effective. I mean, so there's an example that I think chilled my bones, probably not the right metaphor, when I came across it in the magazine. We a few years ago ran across this shoe factory in Camden in London. Anello Shoes, the company who used to make high-backed shoes for the Beatles in the 60s. And that building was bought by a developer and converted into kind of high-end apartments about 2016. And it was single aspect. That's a particular worry. And I would be worried about that in the context of government policy here. Southwest facing single aspect. So you can't, you know, you've only got windows on one side. You can't cross ventilate and you've no potential for what they call stack ventilation, sort of chimney stack style ventilation through, you know, allowing ventilation in that way.
So these were apartments all facing south, southwest.
Yeah.
Getting lots of sunlight coming into them during the day. And this was an old building converted, repurposed. What happened?
Well, when the builders were on site, they were complaining of materials warping and cracking. Because of the heat. When it was finished, it was closed up for about 5 weeks, and the developer then went to open it up to air it to prepare it for lettings. And the stench of sewage, because all of the water in the toilets had evaporated, letting the drain gases come up into the building.
So simply because of the high temperature.
Absolutely. Unheated, unoccupied building. So he then, to his credit, contacted London South Bank University, and they got a PhD student to do a monitoring study over 2 months, from August to October 2016. And they took air temperature readings outside, and they took operative temperature readings inside the apartments, a number of the apartments, mid-block, mid-floor, identical rooms. One of them was left in its original post-retrofit condition, or post-renovation. There was no particular energy retrofit to this, but double-glazed windows and no ventilation added. And then two of them had blinds fitted, one external and one internal Venetian. And the one that was in its original post-renovation condition, on a day when the air temperature outside peaked at, I think, 28.9 degrees, the room temperature inside peaked at 47.5 degrees.
Unlivable.
Yeah, and it went up at about 3 o'clock or so in the afternoon. You can see with the graphs the temperature spiking by about sort of 15 degrees in the space of about half an hour. But the positive note on that, I mean, that's a terrifying and very dangerous condition, I should say. The positive is that the room directly above it, which had external Venetian blinds fitted, peaked at 29 degrees. And that's still uncomfortable, but it's not going to kill you.
But it mirrors the air temperature outside on the day. So, you know, that's what you're going to come in off the street experiencing, and you'll have the same in. It's still not great. I mean, you'd like it to be around 19 or 20 for comfort. So cutting to the chase then, in terms of our building standards, what do we need to do for apartment building and for house building that will enable us to conserve energy in the winter and to be comfortable in the summer?
Well, there's a couple of key things here. Architects, and Irish architects, I gather, are one of the lowest paid professions in Europe. The average salaries are very low. So there needs to be more payment for architects, but we need to get something out of it. And what we need for that is a architecture founded on post-occupancy evaluation of buildings on actual evidence-based approaches. Buildings are the most expensive things that most people will ever build. We should know how they perform. So architects, you know, at the moment, the RAI doesn't even have a stage for architects in their payment structure for post-occupancy work. So you cut and run when the building's completed and you don't ask any questions. And that's really problematic. We need to know how buildings work. And then we need a much better connection between planning and building regulations. At present, the issue of overheating are only starting to be looked at under building regulations. But if you don't think about building orientation and form and glazing ratios and so on at the earliest stage, your goose is cooked already.
Yeah. So in terms of setting out new design standards for a world of climate change, where we're, as I say, we're going to be hotter in summer and likely colder in winter, maybe all of that needs to be revisited.
Yeah, but the thing is, we have the answers. You know, I mean, if you look at the word insulation, the original the etymology, the original meaning of the word is to create an island or to isolate. So the point is, a well-insulated, well-sealed building with sensible glazing ratios, you know, you'll have, it's stopping the temperature inside the house, which in the summer you want to be nice and cool, from equalizing with the temperature outside the house. So it's quite simple, really. You know, while there's complexity around this, there's kind of key principles, and the likes of Passive House, while it's not, you know, I'm not saying everybody should be forced to build a passive house, far from it. But it really, you know, shows you the kind of principles that we should be building to address, to create buildings that work in any kind of condition.
Quick question. Should windows in office blocks be able to be opened? Now, in COVID, we said, if only they would open, we could have air passing through here and keep ourselves as healthy as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's in fact, that's a misconception about the Passive House standard. People think you can't open windows. It in fact, it's a requirement. But look, partly as well, so that you don't feel like, even from an occupancy perspective, if you feel like you're completely, you have no ability to control the environment you're in, then that creates a lot of concern and discomfort in people. We know that where people have the ability, feel like they're in control of their own situation, that's important. But yes, I mean, what we're talking about with window, the best strategy in a heat wave, certainly in low energy buildings, I think this generally holds true, is that you want to, ideally, when the air temperatures are higher than the inside temperature, you want to keep the building sealed in the day and then open it up at nighttime.
When the temperature drops and allow the excess heat that might have accumulated during the day to escape.
Absolutely.
And then you start at a nice low temperature the following morning with the same process. Right. Well, it's very interesting stuff, and many of our listeners are very engaged with it. I'll bring those comments to you later. But Jeff Colley, editor of Passive House Plus magazine, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.